Hi, this is Anne, and welcome to Diverse Wellbeing, a podcast where parents of children with needs find support, connection, and real conversations on embracing self-care. Apologies in advance for any low audio during our conversation. I was recovering from a cold. So this week, I'm sharing my conversation with Fiona, who opens up about her journey so far with her daughter Ella. Ella was diagnosed with autism during COVID, while Fiona and her family were going through bereavement.
It was during COVID, and Ella was diagnosed with autism during then.
Yes.
As well. So I was sitting there, just...
Yes.
I knew she had autism anyway, you know, but it was just, you know, when you hear the words, you're like, oh, it's just to actually hear somebody say it, you know, it's, and then I think I was so in shutdown anyway, because the next day was my grandmother's funeral, and it was like there was so much grief around. I didn't even talk about it to my mother. My poor mother couldn't even go there. That poor woman was stricken with grief, you know, my father, yes. my nephew, then my grandmother. So yeah, I never even had a conversation with any of them. It was just, oh yeah, yeah, she got her diagnosis, and there was no big deal about it because I already knew that in all their heads. Do you know what I mean? So, and that was.
And yet, isn't it, as you said, isn't it different knowing it and being told it?
It is. Like, I knew it, and I knew it from when Ella was 15 months. I knew it. That was my job. Like, I worked with kids with autism, so I knew the signs. I knew, you know, the eye contact stopped, the babbling stopped. You know, she just, you know, she just wasn't progressing. Like, you know, they showed after their 15 months. Like, but yeah, no, I knew she did. But like that, hearing it is totally different, isn't it?
Yes.
It's like,
yes, it is.
There's still a little... part of you is going, maybe I'm wrong, maybe someone else is going to tell me I'm wrong, and that she doesn't. So you hear
because
it then,
have,
and it's...
Yeah, because you have older girls, and...
Yeah,
You didn't notice it was in them.
No, so I knew, yeah, that's it. I had two other girls, so I was able to compare, you know, I knew. I remember when Ella was two or three, even four, because, you know, she only started saying words, really, when she was four, but I thought, oh my God... You know, that start, how is this child going to function? How am I going to help her? You know, but then it's like as time goes on, you know, it kind of clicks into place, doesn't it? You know, it kind of clicks into place. You kind of know then, you know, what to do and the help to get. And yeah, it is all a fight. But, you know, Ella was in the HSC since she was two. But then the whole COVID was there, and that was what they blamed the delay for. But I had to go private then with Ella. I was lucky as in I had the connection from where I used to work. So I knew who I was going to was, you know, they were good and they were legit. And so I went off and got Ella diagnosed privately. So she was 2.5, I'd say, you know. And then you were just... That was the diagnosis. And then you were ringing all the time, ringing the HSC. Ella is 7 now. And only 6 months ago, she had her first OT appointment and her first speech appointment. Now, she's in the system since she was 2.
Yes.
So she was nearly 7 when she got all of this. And it was a home visit, school visit, go up to Clamel, into their office, give you a program, and I was told, okay, she's a teenager. And I was, wow. And I'd say they could tell by my face. And then she said, well, do you know what, if any problems crop up, don't be afraid to ring us, you know. But now I'm after finding out even the speech therapist who was there 6 months ago is not there, the OT is not there. You know, they keep switching staff, and they don't have the staff, you know, like, they don't have it. I would have done law of training where I used to work, so that I did that with Ella. I just kind of got by, you know, I did, like, it was COVID, so even private, you couldn't even get, you know. So you were just doing what you had yourself. But I did go private for OT, really good OT, gave me loads of things to do with Ella, and speech therapists as well. I went, you know, just to get ideas, you know.
Yes.
But then not everybody can go private. This is the thing.
That's right.
You know, which is sad, because those kids are, you know, are they getting left behind as well, you know?
And in a way, do you feel more empowered then, as like put the money aside and the private aside?
Yeah.
You come home then with kind of tools.
Oh, yeah.
Say, I can try this now.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
And you do feel that you're coping better.
You feel you're coping better because you feel like you're doing something.
Yeah.
And you're helping your child, you know. That's all you want. That's the main thing, is to come home with things that you know are going to help your child, and that's the main thing, you know, than sitting there waiting, getting bitter, waiting for no OT, no speech, because you do, you get angry, you know, you do get angry, which, and it actually, it affects you, you know, it does affect you big time, it does, you know.
It's a whole world of its own, isn't it?
Oh God, yeah.
When you're in this world of like disability or autism, or whatever additional needs the child has, it's its own world.
It is.
And lots of times, I have found over the years that, you know, in work and within family and different places, that sometimes, you know, an auntie or a granny or somebody in the family just doesn't get it.
Yeah.
And says, sure.
Or they're afraid.
Are they afraid?
Yeah.
How to handle
the child. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Or if they have a bit of a meltdown, for you, it's like, that's just whatever.
That's just part of our day.
That's part of her day. I know. And she needs to, you know, regulate herself.
Yeah.
She's a bit overwhelmed by all the crowd or whatever it is. But you understand it.
Or if they're having a meltdown and someone is there going, oh, did this and then did this, and then that you have to say, stop, just quiet, you know, just stop talking.
Yes.
They just need, sometimes a child needs to have that, you know, meltdown to feel okay.
And can I ask you a question, Fiona, about say your other girls?
Yeah.
You know, if you say something like, you know, now can we all just be quiet? Hmm. Say it was just yourselves here.
Yeah.
Do they respond well to that?
My eldest is 21, so she's generally not a year on. She's in and out and in and out. She's in her own world, but it's Ava who's 9. You know, she has her own little bothers. She was only diagnosed with dyslexia as well. So, you know, you'd have a bit of guilt there as well that I took my eye off the ball with her, that I don't give her enough time because Ella takes up the time. And Ava would say, it's all about Ella. And she has a point. You know, you turn everything upside down, inside out, to make things easier for Ella. That, you know, sometimes your other children do. They do get a little bit left behind, or I feel they do, you know. But then Ava probably plays on it a bit as well. You know, but I do feel for her, because there's certain things that we can't do as a family.
Yeah.
And now that she's getting older, she sees everyone going off to Disneyland, going off on planes. Like, we haven't done that now since Ella was a baby. But now she's questioning, why can't we do that? It's because Ella, isn't that why we can't do that? Yeah. And that's hard.
It is hard.
You know, it is hard. And it does affect her. And it does affect the mood in the house. If Ella has a meltdown, Ava knows, right, I need to leave the room. And off she goes upstairs to her room. You know, and you're torn.
You are torn.
You don't know what to do. You know, and actually these meltdowns happen when I'm on my own most of the time. You know, if Jimmy was in work, or, you know, and it's just us here. So it is hard. Yeah. This time of year I find harder at Christmas time, because she'd be looking to go here, there, you know, all this. Now we went to Winterville, Ella stayed home with Jimmy, and you know, everything was grand, and she loved it and she appreciated it, you know, she did.
Yeah.
You know, in fairness to her now, she did. But it is harder to go places this time of year then, because he'd be very busy as well. you know. My mother's in her 70s. She has a bad back. Ella is a flight risk, so I wouldn't even put it on her, because you know, she's done enough, in fairness, and she's up in the house on her own. So, you know, she was saying, "Oh yeah, I'll mind her for leave her up here for an hour." But if Ella took off, that's it. No way my mother could catch her. So, you know, I have a sister. She works every day. It's, you know, it's my brother. They all work. So it's, you know, everyone has their own lives at the end of the day. Yeah. You know, they do what they can do. And that's, you know, that's the way it is.
It puts it back on yourself, doesn't it? It does,
yeah. And like even Jimmy would say, well, you know her better than me. And I mean, he knew nothing about autism, like nothing. So I was dealing with his emotions as well and trying to, he hadn't a clue, you know. And even now to this day, he'd say, oh, she's lucky now, she have you, that you know what you're doing. And I looked at him and said, I don't always know what I'm doing. I said, every day is different. Like, I don't always know what I'm doing. But he's having more confidence in me.
Yes.
You know, so it does come back to me. It does come back to mammies and...
Yeah.
You know, it does.
Yeah.
With me, I was such an easygoing person. I was just, you know, chilling. People say, geez, you're so laid back, whatever. Then like as time went on, the anxiety, I was crippled with anxiety, purely down to Ella and what was gonna happen to her when I was gone. And it was eating me up and eating me up and eating me up. And it's only that this is a few years now. It's only now that I'm kind of getting to the point where I'm like, okay, you know, you can't go on like this. You have to deal with it one day at a time. You can't deal with the future because you don't know what it's going to hold. And when I think of Ella when she was 2 and 3, if I knew back then what she was going to be like now, I wouldn't have worried as much. You know,
fantastic.
I wouldn't have. So I'm telling myself, okay, she's 7 now. So when she's 12, she'll be totally different to what she is now. So I hold on to that Ella is going to be another big difference when she's 12. And that's my way of pulling myself back into, because your mind can just go everywhere. And it's normal. It's normal for everybody to think things like that. Mm. You know,
it is.
But you just have to, and that, like I said, that comes with time. At the start, you're all over the place. You just don't know what you're doing. But as time goes on, you know, you get experience yourself, and you know your child better than anybody, you know. And I've learned even now, I go off on spa days. That's my thing. I don't drink, I don't smoke, I don't go out because I don't enjoy that anymore. You know, sitting in a pub or whatever, I go for a meal. I go on my little spa days, and that's my chill out. 3 times a year, and I look forward to that. And I'm good as new when I come back. You know, so it is, because the anxiety was really bad. I actually had to go to counselling. My anxiety was so bad. You know, I'm not ashamed to say it, and I went and I found someone in Clonmel. And, you know, the root of it all was Ella. What's going to happen to Ella when I'm gone? And, you know, she gave me strategies to deal with it. And it's helped. It's helped big time.
Good.
You know, big time it has helped.
Absolutely. Fair play to you for doing that and making that decision.
That's it.
To get that support.
That's the first step, isn't it? You know, you need it.
Do you know, there's an aspect, when I did my training in counselling and psychotherapy, going back now, 10 years ago, one strategy that I came across that I just fell in love with was called scaffolding.
Right.
And it was like the way you put up scaffolding to build a house.
Mm.
And it's like building scaffolding around yourself.
Yeah.
And support systems and who are my supports and what is my support and what do I do for myself? And like you've just listed, like you have your...
I have my ways of dealing with it now.
You have your spa treatment.
Yeah.
You have that to look forward to.
Yeah.
You have created a home that's safe
yeah.
for your child,
yeah.
for your children.
And your mind is more relaxed.
So your mind can relax.
Yeah.
And you've gone to speak with somebody
that's
to help.
It, yeah.
To help figure it
and
out.
And I'd go back again. If I need to, I'd go back again.
Yes.
You know, I yes. took a break now for a while, but because, you know, I'm kind of on top of it again, but I don't see any shame in it and or talking about it because it's helped me, you know. Because when you're going through those years of child with autism, like, your mind is just... So it's good to go and talk to someone who's not going to judge you, who's not going to... And they can help you, you know.
I don't think you'd meet any parent, and I mean this genuinely, who wouldn't have that fear.
Oh, absolutely.
It's not like one of these irrational fears.
No, it's not, because it is a fear.
It's a very real...
It's a reality.
It's a real fear.
Yeah.
It's a real fear.
It is.
And you could own that.
Yeah.
So it's not a silly kind of trying to upset yourself type
no,
of thing.
No, I got so bad, I wouldn't drive far in the car. And I still struggle with that. I still struggle with, I have to drive the car because I have to be in control. And it was purely, if something happens to me, what's going to happen to Ella? At this age, it was crippling me so bad.
Yes.
I said, oh my God, I can't go on like this anymore. But now, you know, I've learned to deal with it a bit better. But that's how bad I was.
Is there anything you'd like to ask me about well-being or anything in that area that you think you'd be interested in?
Well, I suppose more groups to be set up maybe for parents, you know, to come and talk or come and do something.
Right.
You know.
Like a support group.
Yeah, a support group. Yeah.
Wouldn't that be really nice?
That would be really good. Yeah, it would. You know, because everyone there is the same. So nobody can judge you. Yes. Everybody's in the same boat.
Yes.
Just, you know, they might be steering different directions, but they're all on the same boat.
I met a mum walking down street in town in Clonmel a couple of weeks ago, and I mentioned to her about the podcast and the idea of it and all that, and she's a son with autism.
Yeah.
And we're going to have a chat at some time, please God, in the new year, the two of us. But she said, thank God that someone's talking about it.
Yeah.
Because it's such a lonely place to be.
Oh, it is.
Trying to navigate through this world.
Yeah. It is, because you get handed a diagnosis and off you go.
Yeah.
Off you go. That's the one thing that always got me, that nobody ever checked. And nobody, they give you all these diagnoses, they never check, are you okay? They never do. You know, is your child okay? That could be, you know, they don't check. Nobody checks to see, is everyone okay? Are you doing okay?
There's no follow-on.
There's nothing.
No connection
yeah.
from the diagnosis yeah. to possibly getting.
That's the one thing that gets me. Yeah. No one's checking in. You know, how do they know how that child is in the house? You know, how do they know that the child is okay? This is just what gets me, you know. Always did.
How is Ella to sleep?
Ella, saying that now, two nights ago, she woke up at 3 o'clock in the morning, and that's it then, till 9 o'clock the next night. She could do four really good night sleeps. You know, she could go sleep at 8:30 and wake up 6 in the morning. Grand. Perfect. But some nights then, you know, you're looking at 3 o'clock. I can do anything past 5 o'clock. Before that, I'm going, oh no. Please, no.
On everybody.
Oh God,
well.
It does. Doesn't yeah, it? Yeah. I'd be downstairs making popcorn chicken at 5 o'clock in the morning. So she say, Ella wants popcorn chicken, 5 o'clock in the morning.
Beautiful sentence.
And down I go and make it. Mammy, make popcorn chicken, please. And then she does her love sign. She goes, please. She does her love sign. I mean, how? My mother said, how can I say no to that?
Yes.
How can I say no to that? I said, yeah, I know. In fairness.
That's fabulous.
Yeah. And the little eye is looking up at you. Oh.
So can I ask you, Fiona, say, moving Ella from preschool
yeah.
And then going into big school And
that was scary.
Yes.
Very scary now. Because she was in Cherry Blossom and Clamel, but she could have got another year there. And I was fighting myself. But school was, the places were just like gold dust, you know. And in the end, it was the right decision because she was ready. She might have got bored with another year. You don't know. She, you know, but it was my heart. Oh, my God, my heart. I just, but look, it was. It was the right thing to do, you know. Like that, we had to fight to for school places, you know. So when the place came up, you'd be a fool not to take it because they are like gold dust.
And does she travel on the bus?
She goes on the bus.
How does that work? Do you have to apply for that, or did that come automatically?
Well, they'd filled the form out with us in school, so it's just fairly simple now. I have to say there was never an issue. Fill the form, and then automatically every year they seem to fill a form in school, and her bus ticket comes September. Great. In the post. So no, I never had an issue there. That just always worked out, and the bus pulls up outside the door and off she goes.
Is that,
she's happy.
She's happy going on the bus.
Oh, she is. Yeah, yeah. She's used to, because she had a full year of going to Carmel on the bus. Yes. So she was used to it, you know. So yeah, I know she doesn't mind it now. She does. She brings her little books off on the bus and reads them, and off she goes.
And she'd have little pals on the bus that she'd know.
Oh yeah.
Who'd be in?
Oh yeah, everyone's in their everyone's in their same seats. Some of them now will be more verbal, and they'd be saying hello, Ella. You know, Ella might give a grunt or whatever, but getting her seat and happy off
and
she goes.
And they're funny because. They know every turn on the road.
Oh, absolutely.
And they know who's going
where,
that house, and who's next, and then when they're home.
Oh,
they,
gotcha.
They just know the whole
road. Oh, yeah, they do. There'd be another little boy on it, and he'd be saying, don't go this way, go that way, go over the bridge. And then Ella could go, goodbye, bridge. She doesn't want to go that way, you know. So, look, they're happy, you know, they're happy. As long as she's happy going, that's the main thing. If I knew back then what I know now, I wouldn't have worried as much. You know, things do get better, and you have to mind yourself as well. You have to look after yourself because you're important too. I never thought Ella would be able to say, love you, Mammy. I never thought she'd say Mammy. And now, every night, I love you, Mama. Love you, Mammy Bear. This is what she says. Do you know? So it's lovely. You know, they are. They are who they are. You wouldn't change them for the world.
Yes.
You know? You see your child progress. And they do, come on. You do. Them early stages, I'll never forget. Because you don't know what you're doing. Your child is so young. It's the start. But things do get better. Things do improve.
Yeah.
You know? They do.
What stood out for me when listening back to Fiona sharing her story was the importance of celebrating Ella's progress so far and believing in her ability to continue to progress. Fiona's positive mindset towards the future plays a huge part in her well-being, and I want to acknowledge her for what she's done to get there. Thanks again to Fiona for sharing her story with us. You can join our mailing list by visiting our website at diversewellbeing.ie. Finally, please share this episode with someone who needs it. This is Diverse Wellbeing, empowering parents and embracing wellness.